question. On behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we welcome you to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for our monthly Prerna Festival. The topic I have been given is From Fear to Hope, Ushering a New Era of Change. Mumbai is a sprawling city of approximately 15 million human beings, probably about the same number of rats. An overpopulation of mosquitoes, many cars, which must much exhaust fumes. Behind our ashram, not long ago, was a plot of land covered with gravel that was used as a garbage dump for the neighboring buildings. It was sprawled with heaps of trash. Crows, wasps, and flies swarming about. It was an obnoxious place. But that plot has recently been transformed into a sanctuary of trees and plants and flowers, a pond of clear water, waterfall, singing birds, humming bees, and butterflies that flap their wings from flower to flower to drink nectar. People have asked us, why? In Mumbai, downtown where we are, the price of land is exorbitant. Why not build a building there? You could make money. Why a garden? Our primary reason was for the quality of our lives. Stressed out students. Are any of you ever stressed out? Stressed out congregation. To give them a peaceful, natural place. To reflect on the higher values and purposes of life. And more so, this forest is symbolic of our very purpose, to transform our hearts, which are filled with the garbage of lust and envy and pride and greed, anger and illusion, into the forest of Vrindavan. It is said that Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. And Krishna is in our hearts. Saravasya chaham hridishani vishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. He is in the heart of every living being. When we clear the trash out of our heart and we cultivate bhakti, our heart becomes the forest of Vrindavan, where we could actually witness Krishna's eternal pastimes, beyond birth and beyond death. One day, after giving a lecture, I was sitting on a wooden bench under a kadamba tree in the forest, watching a butterfly. Such a beautiful creation of God, flapping his wings, or her wings, I really... Actually, we're not supposed to differentiate between male, female, rich, poor, old, young, what religion. It is said, Vidyavanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihasthani Suni Chaivisvapakicha Pandita Samadarshan. The definition of a wise person is a person who sees the spirit soul in everyone's heart, does not discriminate according to one's particular bodily condition, which is temporary. It's easy to do that with creatures other than humans. So I was looking at this butterfly, just drinking nectar flower to flower, and I was chanting my mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Very softly, just feeling such peace. I felt a million miles away from the city of Mumbai. Suddenly, through the iron gates, three of our brahmacharis and a student ran up to me. I could practically hear their hearts pounding. One of them told me that this student was just riding in a train and a bomb blasted two cars in front of him. And in the tangled steel, he saw charred bodies hanging, blood, screaming. There was a stampede of people running away. There was businessmen with their briefcases. There were laborers. There were women running with little babies, screaming and crying. There were beggars. There was no differentiation. Everyone was running for their lives as the police were screaming, ordering everyone to evacuate. As they were speaking and explaining this to me, I got a phone call. I ran upstairs and answered. It was one of the leaders of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He said, you should see the scene here. It is morbid, horrible. Practically every minute, bodies are being brought in by ambulances, by rickshaws, or on people's backs. All our beds are full, and practically the entire floor space of the hospital, every inch, is covered with either injured or dead bodies. That our doctors are working furiously, nurses, the congregation was volunteering from all directions to help, to cook, to pray, to chant the holy names, to help these people who are suffering miserably. This was July 11th, 2006, when officially 209 people died, 700 injured, thousands of people lost loved ones, and millions were terrorized. As seven blasts in seven trains in a matter of 11 minutes. A few days later, I was back in the forest watching the butterflies under the kadamba tree when a family came to see me, very shaken. The father told me he was just a couple cars away from a blast. He got minor wounds, but he saw the trauma. And his wife, she had tears in her eyes, choked up, looking at her two children, small children. And although she didn't say it, I could hear in her heart, what is going to be the future of my children? And then she asked me, in this world of hatred and cruelty, how does bhakti help us to cope with it? I reflected and remembered a story that was told to me by one of my dearest friends and god brothers, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj. His father was an officer in the Nazi regime, indirectly under the order of Adolf Hitler. He told me that a friend of his father, who was a high officer as well, in the concentration camps, Hitler personally exterminated in his concentration death camps 12 million people. None of them were soldiers. They were all common men, women, and children. He especially targeted the Jews. According to statistics, about 6 million. This man was bringing the people into gas chambers or into firing lines where they were shot dead. He saw something that was very confusing to him. In a room which was the holding tank, just before mobs of people were shoved into gas chambers to die, there were colorful pictures drawn of butterflies in colored chalks. Butterflies happily flying upward. It was such a joyful piece of art in such a morbid, dismal place of death. He was very curious. What does this mean? So he asked several of the Jews, why do you people draw butterflies? Week after week, month after month, I see there's new pictures of them. Most people would not answer. But one old man, he said, young boy, I will tell you. The caterpillar crawls in the dirt. subject to being eaten by birds, eating obnoxious things. That caterpillar is put in a very, very painful situation, or it is wrapped up in something like a cocoon. We can't move. Very painful situation. His whole body practically dissolves. But in through that painful experience, the caterpillar is transformed and comes out of that horrible situation as a colorful, beautiful butterfly, free to fly in the sky, bask in the sun, and go from sweet flower to sweet flower drinking nectar. This is the story of the butterfly. We have this hope. You are keeping us like caterpillars in these concentration camps. Horrible imprisonment, suffering. But we have faith in God. Through our faith in God, we know for sure that we have the greatest hope. Because if we remember Him with devotion, our death will be a transformation where our souls will be free. Free to be with God and to love God. So actually, you are in total ignorance, but you are our friends because you are helping us. When this man heard it, it completely changed his view of the world. Previously, he was brainwashed by Hitler's propaganda to think that Jews were subhuman and they were agents of the devil. They were evil inherently. But seeing how these people had such a philosophy that gave them so much hope and internal joy, even when facing cruel, imminent death. These were very, very deep, sensitive, high people. He went and told Sachinanda Maharaj's father this story. And they both realized that their being a part of this slaughter was total ignorance. They realized that everything that they gave their lives for was wrong. And for the rest of their lives, suffered repentance and horrible nightmares. Interestingly, the next generation, the children of these people of Germany, they very much revolted against what their parents had done. One such revolutionary was Sachinanda Maharaj, who was searching for unity, searching for higher truth, searching for meaning. And he came across Srila Prabhupada's books and gave his heart to Srila Prabhupada. We are best friends. His father and relatives were exterminating the Jews by the millions. I was born in the Jewish faith. Many of my uncles and aunts were murdered by them. How is it that we are best friends? That is the power of bhakti. We must rise above the past and present mistakes and forms of ignorance and violence and hatred. We should stand together with one voice and realize that we are all connected. Every living being is part of God. Aham Bija Pratapita. Krishna tells in Gita, I am the seed-giving father of every living being. This is one small example of how hope can transcend all fear, all divisions. The title of tonight's discussion is From Fear to Hope. But interestingly, misdirected hope is the cause of all fear. Hope is the cause of fear when it's wrongly situated. We put our hope in what the Bhagavatam says, the fallible soldiers of this world. We put our hope in our own abilities, in the abilities of others. But what real hope is there? By the power of time, everything is being destroyed. Can anything or anyone in this world save anyone from death? Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma bhuvanaloka punar avartunarjana mamu pechatu kontiya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material creation down to the lowest, they are all places of misery. Why? Because by the power of time, everything and everyone is destroyed. Janma mrityu jara pyati dukkha doshana darshana. These are problems: birth, old age, disease, and death. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. Everything is temporary. Therefore, everything within this material existence is inherently causes of misery if we become attached to them. And nothing and no one can change material nature. Terrorism, war, people have these fears. Fear of economic crisis in one's life, fear of disease, and just day-to-day fears. According to statistic, in India, average, 2 people die a day from terrorism. In India, 320 people die a day from automobile accidents. There's every reason to be afraid. One of our devotees told me today that there's an institute in Washington, D.C., the World Watch Institute. And they have given a statistic. After carefully doing their research, that from the year 1900 to 1989, from 1900, no, to 1999, there were three times more deaths to human beings caused by war and genocide than from the year 1 AD to the year 1899. Are things getting better? We like to think so. But in the last 100 years, three times more violent murders than in 1,900 years. There was a Russian writer, and he wrote that through science, we have learned to fly in the sky like the bird. We have learned to swim under the water like a fish. But we have not learned to walk on the land as human beings. Martin Luther King, he said that our society has created guided missiles and misguided men. This prayer and a festival is for young men, unmarried, from 15 to 30. Just a few weeks ago, during that horrible terrorist attack, all of those cruel terrorists were your age. Potentially, if they would have just come to the prayer and a festival, history would have a very different view. All 10 of them were between 19 and 30, unmarried men. They were trained for 1.5 years. Indoctrinated in the need to murder innocent people in the name of God, and expertly trained in how to do so. Tremendous amount of intelligence and energy, guided by ignorance. There's an analogy of a king. And he had a competition of who could create the best painting which symbolizes peace. And one man made a painting. It was a really peaceful scene. Nice trees, river, birds. Very, very peaceful scene. And the other one that was in the finals of the competition was a massive storm where the trees were shaking, where everything was in flux, things were being destroyed. And in one tree, there was a little bird that was peacefully singing. And the king said, "This symbolizes peace." Because the reality of this world is there is turmoil and violence everywhere. There's not going to be peace on earth on the material platform. It's never been from the beginning of history. But if we could find peace within ourselves and we can spread that peace to others, then there can be real peace. Earlier this year, I was in Moscow, and I spoke with one man who was the main person to break up the Soviet Union. He was the general secretary under Yeltsin. Very, very powerful man. Now he's the dean of a college, and his passion in life is to bring religious leaders together to try to create harmony in theory so that they can spread that harmony to their followers. Now, he's a very, very intelligent man who's really been around and has done tremendous work in this world. He asked me, Swamiji, do you really think that there could be peace and harmony in the world? And I gave a few philosophical principles. And he said, philosophically, you can say what you like, but I'm a historian. There has never been peace on earth. Christ taught peace, and he was killed. Lord Chaitanya and his followers, Haridas Thakur, taught peace, and they were persecuted. So there's all, the history of the world is basically history of wars. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he first met our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was a very young man, and he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi. At their first meeting, Srila Prabhupada bowed down, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him a lifetime order. Never met him before. Before Prabhupada could even get up, he said, you are an intelligent young man. You should spread the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. He was the age of all of you at that time. And actually, Prabhupada is giving all of you that order. Srila Prabhupada got up and he said, you know, it's nice, this religion and philosophy, but as long as we are under the cruel rule of the British Empire, who's going to listen to our message? First, Swarat, we should get independence. Then the convenience of spirituality is there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very firm. He said, no, in this world, there is always problems. There is always politics of one person ruling another person, always changing. But the eternal, urgent need for everyone is to understand the peace formula of Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvadubhutanam gyatva mam shanti mrichchati. To understand that there is one Supreme Lord, and he is the proprietor of everything that exists. And everything is ultimately meant for his enjoyment. And he is our supremely loving well-wisher. One who lives by these principles finds peace within and can spread real peace without. It is beyond all sectarian concerns. This message is foundational to real civilization. In the Bible and in the Bhagavatam, The same analogy is shared. If you build a house on shifting sands, the first storm, your house will collapse. But if you build your house on a foundation of stone, it will stand through all storms. This is a world where there are storms, inevitably, whoever we are. If we build a foundation in our lives on the basis of truth, real hope in the love of God, then any storm, any situation that may come upon us, we will be at peace. Why? Paramdrisvani vartate. Because we experience a higher taste. All fear is based on two misconceptions. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. I am this body, and those things in relationship to this body are mine. Because this body is temporary, and it will perish, and all things in relationship to this body will be torn away from us. The initial lesson of Bhagavad Gita is, who am I? Dehinosmin yata dehe komaram yovaram jara tata deham yata pandi diras tatra namu yate. I'm not this body. The body's always changing. But the soul is the witness. The soul is unborn, undying, eternal. Cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon, cannot be moistened by water, cannot be burned by fire, is not slain when the body is slain. To realize who I am as the spirit soul is Brahman realization. Aham Brahmasmi. The Greek philosopher Socrates, he not only understood this, he realized it. He was in prison, and he was being given poison hemlock. As soon as he drinks it, in a matter of minutes, he was going to be dead. They said, drink this. He said to the people giving, you cannot kill me because you cannot find me. He's in prison. He's saying, you cannot find me. Because he had realized he's the eternal soul. He was fearless. Basamsi janani atavihaya. Bhagavad Gita tells that for a self-realized soul, death is a change of clothes. What we were discussing this morning, that in the path of bhakti, there is a higher principle. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhayat sharanara hindare. The poet Govindadas prayed to his mind, please worship Krishna, the son of Nanda, because by taking shelter of him, you become completely fearless. Fearless because we experience the infallible love of God. Like little Prahlad Maharaj we were discussing today, he was thrown in pits of serpents. He was thrown in fire. He was attacked with sharpened tridents. He was put under water, and then they put mountains on top of him. He was fed deadly poison. He was only 5 years old. Prahlad was not a kung fu champion. He never learned martial arts. He didn't have any weapons. He was just a skinny little 5-year-old child. But he was totally fearless. And as he was putting into these life-threatening conditions beyond any of our imagination, he was not praying to God, save me. When you're afraid, you pray, God, save me. He had no fear. He was simply praying, Krishna, I'm yours. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor, arpilun tu aupade nanda kishor. My Lord, my body, my family, my home, my wealth, my everything, it is all yours. I am yours and everything I have is yours. In that state, you're fearless. Because you have nothing to gain and nothing to lose, materially. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so filled with God's love. He was Atmarama. He was self-satisfied, tasting the love of Krishna. Krishna, everything is yours. Maro birako bijo icha tohar nitya dasa prati tuva adhikar. Krishna, if you want, you can kill me. If you want, you can protect me. I'm your servant. Do anything. That is fearless. It's something way beyond aham brahmasmi. I'm not this body. I am the eternal soul. We gave the example this morning of one of my dear friends. He's a godbrother named Sudanu, and his daughter's name is Lakshmi. When she was just a little girl, maybe 2 years old, in the temple, he would throw this little girl high in the air, so high that I would really be frightened to see it, because the temple floor was made of marble. And he would throw her way, way up. And he's a very tall person too. If he missed catching her, she would just be, I don't know what would happen. But as he'd throw her up, she was smiling and laughing. She loved it. And he caught her, and he'd throw her again. She was laughing and smiling, giggling, and he'd catch her. Maybe 10, 15 times in a row he would do this. And he did it almost every morning during the morning program. I was really scared watching it. I was thinking, God, if he misses, she's dead. I was trying to give some hope, thinking, well, at least she dies during the Brahma Muhurta hour. In front of the deities of Radha, Vrindavan, and Chandra. But he was so expert, he never missed. He always caught her. Now, if anyone else would have thrown little Lakshmi up like that, she would have been hysterical. In fear. Why was she fearless? She wasn't praying for shelter. She was laughing. Because she felt complete shelter in the love of her father. It is a fact with children. If children feel deeply loved, they become very, very fearless. and empowered by that love. And if they don't have that love, it's very likely they will be extremely insecure and fearful for the rest of their lives. That was Prahlad. When Hiranyakashipu was throwing him in the bottom of the ocean, throwing him in fire, or under a ditch of snakes, Prahlad was feeling Krishna's love. Krishna's love is to be found within the core of our hearts. And when it's found there, we see it everywhere. There's no situation in life or death where the love of Krishna is not for everyone. The path of bhakti opens our hearts and opens our eyes to receive it, to perceive it. And in that state, fearless, Prahlad was like that little girl. Wherever he was thrown, he was feeling the shelter of the arms of his loving father, Krishna. I'll give a couple other examples from our scriptures. Prahlad was just a little five-year-old boy. He was fearless in his hope, in his total hope in every situation due to feeling the love of Krishna. Hanuman, he was a warrior. He wasn't just a little boy. How empowered he was by the love of Lord Rama. He never claimed any power to be his own. In fact, Krishna tells in Gita, I am the strength of the strong, I am the ability in man, I am the intelligence of the intelligence. Everything is coming from God. Hanuman was Trinara Pisuniche Natharor Ibasihish. Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. He was more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. He was eager to offer all respect to others, and he expected none in return. In this way, Hanuman is constantly chanting the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
See, he's standing right here offering his obeisances to everyone. Who are we? We're just little fallen souls, and he's offering his obeisances to us. This is evidence that humility doesn't make you weak and cowardly. Prahlad was not weak and cowardly. He may not have had the physical strength of Hanuman, but he was willing to stand up to his father and tell him the truth at any cost. And Hanumanji, I am nothing. Ram is everything. Ram told him, give this message to Sita. And Hanuman felt so empowered by that order. When the Lord gives you an order, along with it comes the power to fulfill it. If we take shelter. Hanuman took one leap to cross the Indian Ocean. And on the way, very, very formidable impediments came on his path. Simiki, Suras, huge Rakshashis tried to stop him. But somehow or other, by the power of Ram, in the mission of Ram, he overcame all those obstacles while crossing the ocean. And then when he got to Sri Lanka, He gave the message to Sita and pacified her hearts. But then he wanted to do more service. He started destroying the favorite garden of Ravana just to call attention. And then big generals with huge armies attacked him, and he destroyed all of them. And like Prahlad, who wanted to speak the truth to Hiranyakashipu, Hanumanji willingly agreed to be bound up by ropes as a prisoner and brought right before Ravana. Now here he is, one monkey, the most massive, powerful, highly trained military on earth, Ravana's, where every soldier has mystic powers. Not like the soldiers today. We have weapons, we have physical strength, but no mystic powers. These were rakshasas. They were really, really evil people. And he's surrounded by all of them. And there in front of him is Ravana, chastising him. And Hanuman just tells Ravana, give Sita back to Ram. You have stolen another man's wife due to your lust. If you do not bring her back, give her back, Ram will destroy you and destroy your entire kingdom. Those words were equal to Prahlad telling Hiranyakashipu that you're living in a deep, dark ditch of illusion. You should surrender to Krishna and go to Vrindavan. Ravana was outraged. Kill this monkey. Vibhishan say, no, he's a messenger. You cannot kill a messenger. Light his tail on fire. So here's Hanumanji. This is an impediment, being wrapped up in ropes, surrounded by armies with your tail on fire. He saw it as an opportunity for more service. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. If you're looking, if you have hope in any situation and you're looking for service, there will be an opportunity of service revealed to you. If you're looking for a reason to give up your faith or to give up, you'll find that too. So Hanuman just expanded himself a little, broke the ropes, and started jumping from building to building with his tail blazing. And each palace he jumped on caught fire. After jumping around Sri Lanka for a couple hours, he looked back and the entire city was blazing on fire. And with a deep, powerful voice, he shouted so that Ravana and everyone in Sri Lanka could hear. Ravana, I am just the insignificant, tiny servant of Ram, and look what I have done. Wait till Ram comes. So humility doesn't make a person weak. Not in the path of bhakti. Then Hanumanji jumped across the ocean again and reported everything to Lord Ramchandra with folded palms. And Lord Ram picked Hanuman up from his prostrated position and embraced him. For Hanumanji, that was the ultimate perfection of everything, to be embraced by Ram. It was whatever he had done during that amazing historical journey of the Sundarkanda, it was all just a tiny token price for the reward he received. Ram embraced him with such love and gratitude that the Supreme Personality of Godhead shed tears of affection and bathed Hanuman's body with those tears. Choked up. He got his reward, but that only inspired him to do more service. Then he built a bridge out of mountaintops, 800 miles long and 100 miles wide. Hare Krishna. And the whole while, all of his power came through his complete hope and faith in the power of the chanting of the holy names. We've heard of a little boy and a great warrior. Another example is Draupadi, a lady who was dragged by Dushasana into that assembly of warriors in Hastinapur. Dushasana was going to strip her naked, and in doing so, strip all sense of her dignity and integrity, a fate millions of times worse than death for her, to be humiliated like this. She put her hope first in her husband's ability to help. They couldn't help. She put her hope in the king. How can you allow this injustice? He just put his head down. She put her hope then in her own strength of trying to hold on to her sari as Dushasana was pulling it. She realized she has no power. In that crisis, she put her hope exclusively in Krishna. She threw her arms up and loudly cried out the holy names. She chanted with deep, intense feeling. Thank you. Krishna tells in Gita that as you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. If you take full shelter of the Lord gives you himself in full. If you take partial shelter of the Lord, Krishna partially helps, and he leaves the rest to you. She had exclusive absorption that Krishna, you are my only shelter. And in that, she received the protection of Krishna's love. She was infallible. Krishna incarnated within her sari, and in doing so, he was embracing her with love. Dushasana pulled and pulled and pulled, and Draupadi was just twirling around like a top with an endless string, with her arms raised, crying out Krishna's names. till the whole room was filled with sari material. And Dushasana fell to the ground exhausted. When Draupadi took shelter, she was like that little girl. Fearless, even in the most dangerous predicament, because of her complete faith in the love of her father. Like Hanuman. Hanuman was given an order by Ram to cross an ocean to give a message. Just like that, Srila Prabhupada was given an order by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to cross an ocean to deliver a message. And like Hanuman, as he was crossing the ocean, there were unbelievable impediments that were put on his path. Srila Prabhupada was 70 years old. He only had 40 rupees. He didn't know a single person outside of India. Prabhupada crossed two oceans, the Arabian Sea and the Atlantic Ocean, and everything in between. He suffered heart attacks, seasickness at that age, no medical facilities, no doctors. There was no one to help him. He took complete shelter of the Lord's love. And he had a dream where Krishna, with all the incarnations, was rowing the boat, Jaladuta. And that was only the beginning. Like Hanuman, after all those impediments, he had a mission. Hanumanji had to go to the land of Ravana and give the message to Sita. Well, for someone living in Vrindavan, New York City is something like the land of Ravana. And just like Hanuman was alone, Prabhupada was all alone. But they had one thing in common. Hanumanji had complete faith in the power of the order of Lord Ram and in the holy names of Ram. And Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, when I got off that ship, Jaladuta, in New York City, and I didn't know if anyone was going to be there to greet me, and I was penniless, and I was old and sick, he said, I had complete faith. Faith in the order of my spiritual master and faith in the holy name of Krishna. Prabhupada was fearless. And when we began trying to share this message, it's very difficult. If you read his diary, he was sometimes robbed. Sometimes his life was threatened. He was attacked. He was in poverty. He could have left. He did his mission. He could have left. But like Hanuman, he wanted to do something extra. And he was like a beggar, begging people to take Krishna's love. And you read in his diary how he was always full of hope. Any little sign. He writes, I went to an apartment tonight, some stranger, they invited him. I went to an apartment tonight, and three people came. And I played a tape of himself chanting, and they seemed to like the chanting. Now for you brahmacharis, or for any of you, If you go to a program and three people come and they just seem to like the chanting, they don't even chant, they just listen and seem to like it, you probably think, God, you know, I failed. But Prabhupada writes in his diary, he's in ecstasy. He said, three people like the chanting. This is evidence that the prophecy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the holy name will be spread through every town and village will be fulfilled. He was seeing hope in every situation. Why? Because he had taken shelter of the love of Krishna. And the love and the power of Krishna is manifested to everyone and anyone in this age of Kali through the holy names. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, Krishna incarnates within his name. There's hope in every situation. We can be free of fear anywhere and in any condition. And we can be instruments of ushering in real change of hearts within this world if we become absorbed in accessing the love and the power of the holy name. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya wrote, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. The prime gift, the greatest benediction to all humanity is the hope by which we can transcend all the fears and vices in this world. Wherein we can experience the infallible love of Krishna. How? By sincerely taking shelter of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, let us express our gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for that wonderful presentation. Loudly chanting. So,
Hare Krishna, thank you very much Maharaj for your wonderful lecture. Maharaj, you said we should put our hope and our faith in Krishna. Now, when we come in initially, we have a lot of faith and a lot of hope. But after some time, you know, it decreases, you know. So how we can just revive that? How we can take more and more shelter?
Hare Krishna. Has anyone else had that experience? Hare Bol, that means you like... That means you're making advancement. I congratulate you. Because at the beginning you think, because it's something very new, you think, I love Krishna. But then as you become a little purified, you realize, I don't have any love for Krishna. And at that time, you start crying for love for Krishna. And when you really cry for love of Krishna, Krishna gives you his love. So just cry. But at the same time, we have to be very careful that we're actually following properly. We're following properly, we have proper association, and we're not doing our devotional service mechanically. we're performing our devotional service with sincerity. Krishna reciprocates with our sincerity. It may be because the newness is not there anymore. We're not as enthusiastic. We're not as sincere. Srila Prabhupada told us, if you don't feel enthusiastic, you can make tremendous advancement by acting enthusiastic. You may make more advancement than if you feel enthusiastic, because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for Krishna. You're doing it for the Vaishnavas. If we're hearing, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that to have a strong body to do your work, you have to eat food.
Yes?
To be spiritual strong, we also need food. As much as our body needs. If you don't eat for a long time or eat properly, you're going to be weak and defeated. Spiritually, we need food to be strong. And that food is Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Hearing about Krishna and chanting his holy names. If we're hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're discussing it amongst devotees. If we're sincerely trying to take shelter of Krishna's message, if we're sincerely trying to take shelter of the holy names, if we're sincerely trying to take shelter of the Vaishnavas, of the deities, Krishna will give us unlimited hope and unlimited faith in due course. But when we don't have that hope and we don't have that faith and we continue with the same sincerity, Krishna sees that we're genuine, we're real. The Christians call it the dark night of the soul, where you're practicing and you feel no love. You even feel your faith waning. But if you carry on practicing, that's the price of prema bhakti. See, a neophyte devotee, the love we feel in our heart is very external and shallow. We have to cry for that love. We have to sincerely long for that love. And we have to act in such a way, no matter what, that we're faithful. Then only do we experience Krishna's love. And then there is infinite hope and infinite faith. And we become fearless. So as far as I can see, you're making good progress. Be happy. It's not cheap. You don't get a PhD by going to a junior college for one semester and getting good grades. But you all have a chance to be PhD. In our society, PhD means Paramhamsa Das. And what is the price? To be the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Maharaj. Thank you very much for nice class. Maharaj, is there any hope for those terrorists, or any way we can help them?
Most of them are dead. There's hope for everyone. They weren't as bad as Hiranyakashipu. They weren't as bad as Ravana. Hiranyakashipu was a major terrorist. Serious terrorist. And not only was he a terrorist himself personally, but he had huge camps to train others under his order. But little Prahlad prayed for him. And by the power of Prahlad's prayer, he was delivered. We should pray for the good. We should pray for the evil. From the perspective of justice, then yes, the governments must bring these criminals to justice. They must pay for their crimes. It's abominable. But from another perspective, every living being is a part of God. That pure lover of God has just agreed by his own free will to be so totally polluted. That Vrindavan forest of that heart, all the trees have been cut down, all the rivers have been totally polluted. It's just a gravel garbage dump. But a devotee sees the potential, as Nityananda Prabhu saw the potential in Jagai and Madhai, as Prahlad saw the potential in Hiranyakashipu. People can engage in the most abominable, gruesome, horrible activities by the misuse of their free will. But anyone, if they use their free will to honestly repent for what they've done, humble ourselves before those who we have offended, and sincerely take shelter of the Lord, that soul may have to suffer, but eventually that soul will be delivered. We should hate the disease. We should not hate the diseased. In the Christian faith, Jesus was being tortured and crucified. And he wasn't praying, God send them to hell. On the cross, he was praying, my Lord, my Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, the government should not forgive them. But we must do the needful to protect the innocent. But in our heart of hearts, we should be praying for God's grace to everyone, however sick they may be. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, sir.
Hari Om.
Hari Om.
You said the hope is the one what generates the fear is the root cause for the fear. So does it mean that one should wait for the hopeless situation to be fearless?
Sometimes that works really nice. Hope in the wrong thing creates fear. We may have hope in it for now, but then when we see that it can't save us, it can't really help us, it creates fear. When we lose our hope in the illusory energy, when we lose our hope in false hopes, then we become hopeless. And then, if somehow or other, by Krishna's mercy, we have the association of Vaishnavas, we learn how to repose that need. We all need hope. No matter how bad a situation, if a person has hope, a person has life. A person has meaning. A person has a spirit of joy that's in that hope. Like those Jews in the concentration camps painting the butterflies. They had hope. Hope in God beyond death. But if you don't have hope in life, you're nothing. You're nothing. By the grace of God and his devotees, when we lose hope where there is no real hope, we learn how to cry out for Krishna, for God. And we see unlimited hope where there is unlimited hope. But for most of us, until we're quite materially hopeless, we don't really take it very seriously. It doesn't have to be that way. But often it is. We can just understand with good intelligence where our hope really is. But if we don't act accordingly, then eventually we'll be brought to that situation. Everyone is brought to the situation in due course of time, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're man or woman, whether you're Hindu or Muslim or Christian or Jewish or Jain or Parsi or atheist, whether you're a PhD or illiterate, everyone, without exception, is brought to a point in life where everything material becomes hopeless. It's a time of death, or before. But if we cultivate within our life, with all sincerity, finding hope in the eternal love of Krishna, or God, and we see all else as hopeless, then we will get the full shower of Krishna's mercy. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
I remember one person came to one of my godbrothers and said, "I'm feeling hopeless." And he said, "Very good." Prabhupada gave an example, I believe Prabhupada gave the example of, there was a music teacher, and he would charge a certain fee for people who didn't know anything about music, and for people who did, he would charge double. Because he had to unlearn them before he can teach them the right thing. Yes? So before we could really learn how to find hope in God, we have to realize how everything else is hopeless. And that is not a pessimistic thought. That's the most optimistic thought. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
From today's enlivening classes, we have learned that first we should have faith on the protection of Lord, and thus we should be fearless. But we see in general there is a practice that whenever we board a train or bus, first, before getting any seat or something, we first start Nrisingha Arati. Or many devotees pray to Lord Nrisingadev for protection against impending death. So how do we interpret or support this practice?
Just go on chanting. One of our devotees was telling me that he's a member of the ATS, the Anti-Terrorist Squad. very sincere devotee. He said for 3 days he was fighting the terrorists in the Taj Mahal Hotel. He was explaining the whole, how difficult it was. They had these hand grenades and throwing and so much smoke, and you never knew where they were. They knew where you were, but you didn't know where they was because they kept the smoke and they had really good guns. He said at one point there was so much smoke and they were shooting. They were shooting at him and two of his companions. And he had a cellular phone. And he understood this is really like... And he had recorded on his cellular phone the prayers to Lord Narasimhadev. Because he realized he was helpless. He was just in a cloud of smoke. He hardly knew where he was. And he was just bullets were coming and coming and coming, and he didn't know where to shoot. So he was playing the prayers of Lord Narasimhadev, full volume of his cell phone. And he was chanting and praying to Lord Narasimhadev. And when the smoke cleared, people were dead. But the bullets that would have come to him, there happened to be a pillar in front of him. He didn't even know it. And all the bullets that would have killed him went into the pillar. Lord Narasimhadev appeared from a pillar to protect Prahlad. And he appeared as a pillar to protect this devotee. And even if he died, if he was chanting the holy names, he would have gone back home, back to Godhead, which is much better than being in this place where there is danger at every step anyway. But as long as we are in this place where there is danger at every step, we should access the love of God in our own lives so that we can be instruments of bringing people from fear to hope through ushering a new era of change. Is there another question? Yes.
Swamiji, I have a couple of questions probably.
Just one?
No, both are linked.
Huh?
Both are linked questions. Okay, so my first question...
Gauranga Prabhu is the puppeteer, and I am his puppet. And
Thank
he
you.
Has told me one more question. Yes?
Okay, so my question is, actually, when we enter... My question is, when we enter this Bhakti Vedanta itself, we have our own security check and all. So doesn't it probably shows that we are fearful of something, and then we are coming in to a place where itself they are very fearful because of our security check and all?
Yes. We find security. Ultimately, it's not the security guards that are going to give us shelter. At the time of death, if you call for the security guard, if he chants Hare Krishna in our ear, he can give us security. But it's not his guns or his radar or his metal detectors that are going to help us. But at the same time, we're practical. Yes? Hanumanji was fearless, but at the same time, he fought.
when he saw Sita in her miserable situation, he had great compassion and he fought. Arjuna, why was there the battle of Kurukshetra? To protect the innocent. So it is our duty to protect the devotees. It's our duty to protect our own bodies. When there were arrows being shot at Hanuman, he didn't just go, shoot, shoot. No, he had his club. He was dispelling all the arrows and then dispatching all the shooters of the arrows. Yes? Devotees are not sentimental cowards. They're compassionate, but they also should be practical. We have to fight against evil elements. We have to be willing to fight against evil elements to protect ourselves and protect others. It's the responsibility of this temple for every single person who comes here, that they can be protected and they can have a full spiritual experience. So the manager of the temple wants to protect all of you. They even want to protect me. So this is devotional service. To hire security guards is devotional service. It's service to the Vaishnava and service of all the devotees and everyone who is coming. Does that answer your question? Gauranga Prabhu, should we end or continue? Puppeteer is pulling his strings to make me lead kirtan. Would you like to sit or dance?
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri